Hello, my name is Vesa Juvonen, and in this video we will have a closer look on how we can do customizations of the OneDrive for Business sites across your enterprise within the Office 365 or using the app model in general. And what we're going to do in this particular video is we're going to use an Office 365 developer patterns and practices example, which is showing a synchronous way of applying those customizations to your OneDrive for Business sites based on the end user behavior. And this is pretty typical scenario, pretty typical way of handling these customizations, well, on the most common way of handling the customizations within the Office 365. Let's have an example using this customer, the imaginary branding called Garage, and this is our Garage intranet. And the model is that this particular scenario is that we will use an hidden app part, which will be actually placed on this Garage intranet. And this is it's quite common that the normal end users or normal companies, they have their default intranet entry on default intranet front page set as the default browser welcome page, so that everybody will always see the latest news related on company. And that's the reason why you should be placing this app part on the front page of the intranet, which should be in the Office 365 as well, or in the same environment as your OneDrive for Business site, so that we're able to control the automated way of applying the configurations or the branding or whatever it needs to be done for the OneDrive for Business site. And this is because we don't actually have a centralized hook or code place whenever a OneDrive for Business site is actually created. So we need to be clever. And having this one location where people are landing and having that required code in here and using an asynchronous pattern for actually starting the creation will make the whole process relatively seamless and relatively helpful quite agile from a end user and from a company perspective. So this is our Garage intranet. So let's have a look on the Garage intranet OneDrive for Business site. And the OneDrive for Business site for Garage company is slightly branded. It's branded using the Office 365 theming. But you can still see that we don't have that nice background picture. Some of the images and some of the logo, let's say the font colors are not optimal. Only thing what we're actually having here is the top bar following up the branding of the Garage intranet. And that one we are able to control using the Office 365 themes. So if we go to the admin site, you can actually find the Office 365 theming. These are quite well hidden. On the top right corner, you can find the company name. In my case, it says Contoso. So if I click that one, it will actually show you the company information. And within the company information, I can click underneath the company profile, I can click a custom theming, which will then actually give me the custom theming settings. And the key point here is that these are not just for the SharePoint. These are for across all of the different services what we have in the Office 365, like Delve and Yammer will then follow up on these settings, whatever you have applied here. But it might be in certain cases that this is not sufficient or this is not precisely what you want to have from a branding perspective, or you would like to have some additional guidance or some additional settings within the OneDrive for Business site. So we need to apply additional things in these sites. And that's where we need to start thinking how we could actually apply those customizations using in a, let's say, in a most flexible way. And that's where the hidden app part method is really useful. So let's move on to Visual Studio side. What I'm going to do is run the code. I'm going to show you how things are working, and then I'm going to explain all the bits and pieces and the code, what is actually relevant for this particular example. We do have quite a lot of different solutions, quite a lot of different projects, but before we deep dive on any of these and explain the structure, let me just do an F5. To show you how the branding is applied, and then we're able to actually walk through the code step by step using debugging, and we're able to show some additional things here as well. So what I'm doing is a simple F5, and I'm already approved this application to my dev site, and this is how it actually is looking if you go to that full immersive view of the app itself, and there's absolutely nothing here. So nothing is actually applied here. So we're not expecting the end user to come here in the first place. This is more about just giving an information that this is for the corporate branding applyment or the customization applyment for the Office 365 OneDrive for Business sites. But how it works is that we are asking or expecting you to put one app part in that centralized location. So let's put this page in the edit mode. And if you go to the insert and app part section, we're able to find an OD4B OneDrive for Business customizer, and let's put that one on the page. And in this particular case, it's put underneath the Get Started with Microsoft Azure. Get Started with Office and SharePoint. And it's actually giving us some information. In this case, it's saying cookie did exist, skipping the code for now. And that's debugging information. What we can do with this particular fellow is that it's giving us additional details related on the status of the particular user. So what I'm going to do here is that I'm going to actually hide that. So it would be mimicking the normal situation of using this particular tool within your intranet. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to set the height to, let's say, it could be 5 pixels, and the width to 5 pixels really actually doesn't matter. It could be 0, 0. And then the additional configuration is that by default, it is showing debug information. It's showing information related on cookies and cookie optimization and performance optimization. So I'm going to actually do unchecking that one and click OK. And what's going to now happen is that that whole app part will be squeezed and it will be essentially hidden. It won't be visible for the end user, but the code itself will be still running on the page. Whenever we actually do something on the page, there was a random JavaScript error. Let's not worry about that. So every single time we refresh the page, the code itself, which is a server-side code in the Windows Azure, will be actually executed. So I'm going to save that for the page, and now we're ready to get analyzing the code, what is actually being executed. In our code, we do have one optimization, so I'm going to actually quickly show you that one. So I'm going to move on the Visual Studio side. There we go. And the key optimization within the server side of this particular page, which is the customizer ASPX underneath the async web. There's the customizer ASPX, so that's actually shown within the part. We have a cookie check skip, and what this is that we are actually checking was this particular code or the customization code, which is adding that async request to check my personal OneDrive, was it already executed within the less than 60 minutes? And if it was, we're actually going to skip the code, because there's really no point reapplying the customizations or even checking do we need to reapply the customizations if that has been already executed. Is 60 minutes actually too less? That might be the case. We could increase that timeout within the cookie quite easily to be much larger than that one. But essentially what we're doing here is that we're storing that cookie for an expired time of minutes, and until that cookie will expire, we are not going to actually execute our code. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to do a breakpoint here, so I'm forcing that cookie to be executed. So I'm going to do and refresh on the page, and moving back on the Visual Studio, waiting for that cookie to be actually hit. Was I able to do a refresh on the page? Yeah, there it is. There was the cookie refresh. And what I'm going to do is that I'm going to make it go to that handling. So it's actually going to refresh to cookie for 60 minutes. And it's returning false, which means in the actual process that we're going to execute the code. So I'm going to run the code. And let's go and have a look on how's the OneDrive for Business actually looking. What's going to happen here within the code side, while it's actually executing that, is that we are going to load the user profile of the particular user, and we're going to load the user particular user's personal site. And we're checking if that personal site already exists. If that doesn't exist, we kind of queue the creation of the personal site or the OneDrive for Business site. So this is now making sure that every single person who's actually using OneDrive for Business, Office 365, by arriving to the front page, we will queue up the creation of the site and the OneDrive for Business site for them. And then on the following time, they will actually come here. Within that 1 hour time period scheduling, we're actually queue up an asynchronous request to apply customizations to the OneDrive for Business site. And what we're going to do here is also that we're adding a configuration request to the queue for that particular account and the personal site URL whenever the site actually exists. And this is something what we're doing in the centralized location, so all of our business code has been relocated to a common project. And within the common project, we have a, this is not actually that hard, only a few lines of code, which is then adding the cloud, getting access to the cloud storage by using the storage connection string, which was given as a parameter. That's actually configured in the web config. And then it's adding a entry in the queue, or it's creating the queue if the queue doesn't exist. It's adding the entry to the queue for that particular site URL. So essentially what we're gonna do is that we're adding an entry to the queue to request a web job to be executed to make sure that that particular URL will have the right branding within it. Let's go and make sure that we actually got the branding applied. So I'm going to refresh the site. So let's see if we can actually, did we actually get it? And if we didn't get it, let's have a look on why didn't we actually get it on the site. But I'm refreshing the site. And here we go. Now we're able to see additional information applied on the customizations applied on the site. We have that garage branding. There's the background image over there. You saw the colors of the fonts to be switched and the red. And we've added a additional information here. OneDrive, which says OneDrive for Business should not be used for storing confidential files. Blah, 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 blah. Check company policy for additional details. And this could be a link pointing to your centralized location where you have all the guidance and policies. And we could obviously apply whatever additional settings, like language settings, regional settings, whatever settings to this particular site using the exact same pattern. So really cool stuff, really, really excellent stuff. Let's have a look on the code. And I'm going to quickly run through what are those, all of those solutions and how do they actually work and what, why are they useful maybe for you when you start actually testing this or running this code. So I'm going to actually stop debugging because we're not interested no longer to use that UI to actually add that entry to the queue. What I'm going to also go do is I'm going to go to the Windows Azure site, and there's two things what we need to, well, one thing, one major thing what we need to remember what we're going to do here. We're taking advantage of the storage. We're taking advantage of the storage queues. So what you need to have is that you need to actually create a storage queue, and you need to create a storage account with the and copy that primary key and storage account key. And that is an information which is really relevant because that has to be updated on the web config and the app config of those projects so that they're able to actually access the storage queue. And don't worry, I'm going to change my primary keys and all of storage, even a storage account name after this demo. So in here, we're going to take that information, move it on the on our project. So as an example, in our web project, in the web config, we have obviously we have the client ID, we have the client secret, normal app model specific top stuff, which will be then a well, we will approve that client ID and that client secret to be deployed. And then we have the storage connection string, which is the one where we will update the account name and the secret. So we're able to access that right queue to add those right entries in. In this particular case, we also that the app itself, so the app file, I'm going to actually zoom in here. So this is the Visual Studio or the SharePoint app project. And this is actually asking quite high permissions. And the reason to do that is simplicity. The actual UI doesn't actually require the tenant permissions, and it doesn't do any app only calls. But what I've done here is that I've combined two things. So deployment of the app, that hidden app part on the page, will ask the administrator to give permissions to app only calls and also the tenant operations and user profiles. And reason to do so is that whenever that app has been approved, within your web config of the property hosted application, you will actually find the right app client app ID and the app secret, which we will then use also within our console application, like within our web job. So as an example, in our web job, I'm going to just open up the web job, which is continuously running web job within the Windows Azure. If I'm opening up my app config, I'm able to actually find the app client ID and the client secret, which will be matching actually on the web config once. Well, essentially in the production, you will make sure that these are matching using slightly alternative means, but you're going to deploy the right client ID and client secret then on the Windows Azure. The reason to do so is that we granted the app only token permission and the tenant permission usage. So that means that this web jar, which will be now executed within the Windows Azure, can do whatever is needed to cross all of the site collections or whatever site collection is given as a parameter. That's the key point here. Let me do one more thing. So I'm going to actually move on the WebJobs site. So I'm going to go to my websites, and there's my OD4B config within my WebJobs. I'm going to move here. I'm able to see right now that WebJob, which is actually running continuously. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to stop that one. So we're going to run through the debugging steps one by one. So that's now stopped. So we're able to run that whenever actually we want to run it or continue running it whenever needed. I'm going to move back on the Visual Studio side, and let's have a look on those all of these individual additional projects. So what first of all, what we have here is the console application console reset. And this is a console application which is also using the same app only token and same app client ID and client secret. Going to just zoom in and show you that in the app settings. So it's able to actually access to any site what we want to apply whatever settings and whatever configurations. And what I mean with that one is that when we within that from a debugging perspective, this was also used when we actually created the solution. We're able to now run this solution against any of these sites within my tenant, and we're able to either apply or reset these settings or configurations. So this was a great tool for supporting the development of the web job, because you can debug a web job, but you probably want to go step by step and make sure that your customizations are applied properly first, and then you hook in that code to your web job. So this is actually now in this particular case, let's run the reset command. So I'm going to actually right click that one and do debug and start new instance. That's going to start a new instance of that console application. There it's running. And it's going to apply or getting an app-only access token to my tenant. And then it's going to execute to reset. You can just uncomment if you want to apply the customizations or reset if you want to remove the customizations. And what we've done here is that we're using a centralized component, Site Modification Manager. Let me actually zoom in. Which is actually used by the web job as well. So now from our console application, we can just call that by providing the right context, web context with the right permissions. So we're able to reset or apply any of the configurations. So it's kind of our business logic component. And that business logic component is then using the Office 365 developer PnP core object. To, for example, delete the JavaScript link or apply that and set the composite look by URL. So we're adding that the normal settings, the OneDrive for Business site. And then the final thing what we're going to do here is that we're adding a versioning setting to that site to be matching the branding settings of the what is requested. And what we mean with that one is that even though we had that cookie checkup, which is making sure that only in every single 60 minutes we're checking do we need to actually apply any configurations. There's really no point applying all of these theme settings and configurations if they have been already deployed or applied to that site. So what we're doing is that we're storing that information in the property back. And this one is just clearing that tag or adding that property back ID to 0. I'm going to show you how it's actually then controlling that. That's all done. Let's go back on the OneDrive for Business site. Let's do a refresh. We're able to see that our OneDrive for Business site has been reset to the normal status. So it's looking like an out-of-the-box site, except that the Office 365 top bar is like it should be within our tenant. Let's move on the following project. The following thing what we have in it from a testing perspective is a console application which is helping us to test that queue process. So that adding that new entry to the queue project. And what we have here is essentially a console application which is using the same storage connection string which my real web job and the web and the website is actually using. So therefore this is mimicking and it's actually running the exact same code what the website is running to add that queue request to the storage queue. So let's actually run this one. That's only a few lines of code. So I'm going to right click again to send message and do a debug and start new instance. And that's responsible of now adding a customization message to that storage queue. So let's go and check what, how do we do that. There's the connection string and there's the storage queue name. So I'm going to actually add a new entry to the OD4B config queue. Going to show that one in practice as well. And we're going to create the queue if it doesn't exist. There's our data object. We're adding an account ID and site URL. To be precise, in our example, we only use the site URL, but I'm just using a complex data object for the demonstrational purposes, and I'm adding that to the queue. That's it. We have an entry within the queue. Since we went and stopped our web job, that queue item within the queue will actually be there if you go to the queue. And what I've done here on the left side is that I've expanded. Let me actually do this one more time. So we have a Server Explorer in the Visual Studio. And if I extend that Server Explorer under Azure, I can log in to my Azure account. And within my Azure account, in this particular case, we're looking first of all storage. And underneath the storage, we had a storage with the name of Vesa Juvonen, that's my name. And we just created a new OD4B config queue to that storage. And what we're able to do now is actually go and have a look on that queue. And there's our actual entry with the right information. There's the unique ID of the message. There's the message URL with an account ID, and that's the URL. And that was added on the site just on this particular time. Good, so that's in the queue. And it's gonna be in the queue until somebody's gonna actually read, well, there's a timeout and everything else, but it's gonna be on the queue for a while. So right now we could go and start the timer job and that would actually read the item out of the queue and that would apply the things, apply the settings. From a debugging and customization perspective, I already mentioned this, but if you open up the console, async console reset, this is actually doing exact same thing as the web job. It is accessing, as long as we, let's say, comment that reset away, it is actually running this exact same code or the centralized code piece. And there we go. Now we are using the right keyboard local. So I'm gonna, what I'm gonna do here is that I'm gonna actually apply the right customization to the site manually. So what I'm going to do is that I'm running the site modification manager and apply site configuration. That's precisely what we're going to do actually in the web job. So let's actually start this one by doing a debug and start new instance. And it's going to first stop there. It's going to take my URL of my OneDrive for Business site. Because we're actually using a console application, I don't need to worry about any of the timeouts or anything like that. I can just debug this as long as I want. And this has been implemented in a way that we are actually providing the right path and the settings as a data object to that centralized code, site modification manager, and apply site configuration. So if you go there and have a look on that one, first things what we do is that we're making sure that is the current branding version matching the branding version what we want to apply. And most likely it's not because we just reset that setting. Our branding version has been set to 1. That's just a constant within my customization. But whenever I would have a new version of my branding, I would just deploy a new version of this business logic to my web job, and it would start applying the updated branding version to the site or whatever is needed to be applied on the site. Then what we're going to do is that we're uploading JavaScript to the root side collection. We have only one JavaScript file, which is uploaded to the root side of the OneDrive for Business sites. Not to every single OneDrive for Business site, rather on the site collection, which is in the root of the OneDrive for Business site URL scheme. It's a one file. So we can much more easily actually maintain that file. The following thing is that we're making sure that if there will say a JavaScript link as a user custom action, we're deleting that and we're adding a new one on the site. And then we're uploading the latest versions of the theme files and applying those to the sites using the client-side object model. So just executing, uploading the files, there just upload files are actually uploaded. We're not using feature framework, we're just uploading the files using actually PNP core methods. We're just giving it the right permission or right path to the file, which is located in the local store, a local file system. Execute query, and the final thing here is that we're gonna add that property back marker, which is gonna say that on this particular OneDrive for Business site, we have applied the right version of the branding. Applyment of the theme actually takes a while, so that's the longest time process within this, within executing with this steps. And this is the step which is going to actually add that Contoso OneDrive version marker to the one to the property back of that particular web. So that the next time when this code is executed, before we start applying of the theme and refreshing of all of the files, we're first checking that can we actually skip that? And we can skip that if the branding version is matching at the same version what we are planning to actually apply now. And again, executing the code, moving back on the Firefox and doing a refresh on the page, we're able to see that that OneDrive for Business page has been rebranded. And that's pretty much the story. The only thing what we might actually quickly have a look on is that I'm gonna quickly do a reset for, well, actually, I don't actually need to even do a reset. What I'm gonna do is that I'm gonna go to the Windows Azure and I'm gonna show you how to do a debugging on the web job as well. So obviously right now I was mimicking the business logic by running a console applications and executing that, which wouldn't be the case if when you have a web job running. But what we wanna do is implement stuff case by case, so or step by step. So we had that business logic implemented in a separate logic, and then in our web job, we're just gonna call that business logic. So what I'm going to do now is that I'm going to start the business, the web job. The web job is right now running in running status. And if we want, we can actually see much more additional details in here. It's running right now. 13 seconds ago, our queue was actually, there was an item in the queue. We actually added that item in the queue using the send message task, and that has been executed. And the status was success. So there was no exceptions within the code. Let's actually have a quick look on the Visual Studio, if we can get this one to work properly. So within our Windows Azure Server Explorer, if we expand the websites, and in this particular case, the web job has been deployed underneath the VSAJ OD4B conf web job. There's the web job, and there's my OD4 configuration agent web job. And it's actually, I can refresh the status. I'm able to see that it's running, which means that I can do a stop, or I can do at that debugger. And that's actually the really interesting part. So I can go and have a breakpoint in my web job in here, and right-click, do an attach debugger. And what will happen is that the Visual Studio will attach a debugger to that web job, which is actually running in the Windows Azure. And let's see if we can actually get the debugger to attach. There we go. Looks extremely promising. And now what we can do is that we're able to use that helper project to send that new message on our Azure, the storage queue. So there's our send message project. So I'm going to execute that one, and if everything will go well, that will actually hit our process queue message after the item has been added to the queue. So I'm going to do an F5 here, that's going to add the item to the queue. There's the queue adding under the right storage name, and then we wait a while, and our function's code will be hit in any second. If we are fast, we can actually go and see the queue in the Azure queues as well. There we go. There's my queue. It has been refreshed. Or this is actually the old item, most likely. Let's do a refresh. No queues there. Most likely we have a breakpoint already in functions. Yes, we do. So we're already executing that queue. And whenever we actually get a breakpoint here, I'm gonna execute the following lines. So get that basic setup done. And then I'm gonna actually walk through the code more detailed. So right now, if we have a look on, for example, this config object, let's see if I can actually zoom in. You can barely see that JavaScript file has a location and the site URL has been set. So what's gonna happen now is that within our Solution Explorer, I'm gonna expand here. What I've done is that this web job has been deployed to the Windows Azure. And the web job itself is also deploying a few resources, which we will then apply to OneDrive for Business sites within the Office 365 whenever the web job is executed and whenever we get that URL as a parameter. Within our program JavaScript, program JS, we only just invoke this web job to be actually, not that one. Let's open up that one. We're just doing this one, which means that it's a continuously running web job. It's waiting for somebody to actually call it. And then within our functions, we have that actual method with matching storage queue name to that storage queue where we add our messages, which is then catching all of the incoming requests. And that's all we need to do to make the connection. And this is really, really brilliant. And now it's just applying the exact same code. It is actually calling the exact same modification manager to apply that the request to apply all of the needed code and branding and customizations. In this particular case, if we actually walk in on the code, we will skip actual execution of the code, and that's just because the version of the item is matching within the site already matching the version of the what we're planning to apply. So if I'm stepping in this items and rows and executing the code, we're able to see that we won't be executing the customization part because the branding version is already matching what we have on the site. There we go. So we are skipping the code. Excellent. And that's all we're going to do and all we're going to apply. The key point here is that now when we have that app part or when we have that app part developed and deployed and the provider host application running, you would then add that one in the front page of the intranet. So in my case or this imaginary garage case, it would be the front page of the intranet and we would have that 0 pixel x 0 pixel app part here, which is then taking care of asynchronous calls. There's a storage queues, and then the web jobs are going to actually execute and apply the required settings to the individual OneDrive for Business sites. Really, really awesome stuff, and combines the Windows Azure technologies quite nicely, but it's really, really not that difficult thing. And we spent majority of time just explaining basics within the Visual Studio development. Hopefully it was a worthwhile time for you, and you will also give us feedback in the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices group at the Office 365 Yammer network. Thanks for your time.